Amen. Let me encourage you this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me encourage you to make this truth your own. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Now this year we're going to be enjoying those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 to encourage us in our faith. So please turn with me to the Heroes Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at one verse this morning, verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you had a choice to put a person from the Bible on the top of the list of those in the Hall of Faith, who would you choose? Well, God has made that choice already, and it's a choice for a reason, a divine reason. Look with me in verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. God has chosen to tell us about the faith of Abel. Hebrews chapter 11, look with me at verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's commit this morning to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, we thank you for the truths that you have revealed to us. Lord, help us to understand your word. And Lord, I know it's not by my efforts or the eloquency of speech that, Lord, you are made known, but by wisdom and power of the Spirit of God. And so we do pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher this morning. And Lord, I pray that anything that the Holy Spirit lays on our hearts this morning, Lord, we would take it from you. Lord, we would be willing to agree with you by faith. And Lord, help us as your people to live by faith. Lord, lastly, I pray if there's anyone present this morning that does not know whether their sins are forgiven forever, and they do not have a sure home in heaven, Lord, I pray that this would be the day that by faith they trust in you, Lord Jesus, for their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, maybe you've seen documentaries about wildlife. Maybe you've seen something in a book or in a magazine. But how many of you have ever seen an African deer in action, running and jumping? It's an amazing creature, the African impala. Actually, that's what they are called. And one of the most notable features is the height and the length of its jump. Now, you might think this morning that the African deer is a prime target for predators like lions and tigers and bears, but they're not in Africa. But the African impala can leap, in actual fact, up to 3 meters high. Now, that's taller than me, believe it or not. 3 meters high and up to 10 meters long. Imagine, 3 meters high and 10 meters long. That's as far as it can jump. It's an amazing creature that God has created. But here's something interesting. You can put an African impala, a deer, an African deer, in any zoo with a fence below 1 meter, up to 1 meter high, and it will not jump out. Now, 1 meter is very short, low, compared to three, don't you agree? Why does the African deer, with absolute ability to escape its captivity and leap to freedom, even over some of the highest zoo fences, why does it not take that leap of faith? Well, you see, the African deer has a problem. It will not jump where it cannot see its feet land. Let me say that again. The African deer will not jump where it cannot see its feet land. And my friends, that is the opposite to what we are talking about this year, faith. You see, faith is living and believing before we see it happen. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. Isn't that right? And see, many of us live by sight, and we are just like that African deer. We are surrounded with the fences of fear. And they are small fences, by the way. They can be leapt over. We are surrounded by the boundaries of worry. We are surrounded by the limitations of unbelief. But let me encourage you this year, God wants us and to, as a church, to be challenged to take the leap of faith. Amen? To trust in what we cannot see, but we know is true. The ground is there, but we need to believe in God. And God encourages us in Hebrews chapter 11 with a list of individuals that took leaps of faith in their life. They were not perfect. They were sinners just like you and I. But the Bible says that they lived by faith. That's what this banner is all about. Let me encourage you to be reminded these were real people with real faces. These weren't their faces, I understand. But they're real people with real faces, real lives, real problems, just like you and I. And they live by faith to be an example to encourage us. Now, the first person God puts down on this list, maybe you and I would have chosen Noah, but God says in verse 4, by faith, Abel. God chose Abel to start off this hero's hall of faith. Now, the Bible tells us, does he not? Does God not tell us that he was a righteous man? The Bible says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel pleased God. He lived a life pleasing to God by faith, and God says he was righteous. And in fact, in this verse, the Bible tells us that there was a difference between Cain and Abel. How many of you have ever heard about Cain and Abel this morning? Yep. Maybe you've heard about them somewhere before. Maybe you've read about them in the Bible. God tells us in verse number 4 about two young men, Cain and Abel. The way of Abel is the way of faith. The way of Cain is the way of unbelief. And let me say this morning, you and I are either going to live one way or the other. Either we are going to live the way of faith like Abel did, or we are going to live the way of Cain did, of unbelief, that we understand this morning leads to destruction. That's where the way of Cain leads. In fact, the book of Jude tells us, woe unto them that have followed the way of Cain. Cain. You see, God is serious about us living by faith. This is a serious subject. Now, you thought last year was a serious year. This is a serious subject. You and I dare not live 2016 in unbelief, because that would lead to disaster in our lives, in our homes, in our children's lives. We need to be encouraged and helped, don't we, this morning, as we look at the faith of Abel. Now, just to make things simple this morning, we're going to look at three things this morning. Abel's family, Abel's faith, and then Abel's future. Notice with me in verse number 4, the Bible describes and tells us a little bit about Abel's family. Now, who was Abel's brother? Just to keep you awake, who was that? His name is Cain. Abel had a brother named Cain. In fact, an older brother. Now, who were Cain and Abel's parents? Adam and Eve. The first human beings that God created. Adam and Eve. They were Abel and Cain's parents. Now, notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We're going to be looking at a few verses this morning. Romans chapter 5, if you don't mind turning there. Notice what the Bible says in verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says of Adam, Abel's father, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, you know the account of history according to God. What happened was God created Adam. God created Eve. He gave them everything they needed in a paradise called the Garden of Eden. But he gave them one instruction, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to Adam, the day that you eat therein, thou shalt surely die. You see, God did not create us as robots. He has given us freedom of choice. He gave a freedom of choice to Adam and Eve. If they had no opportunity to disobey, then there would be no choice for them to love God. And God said, I'm giving you a choice. That's disobedience. What will you choose to do? Tragically, we know what happened. Adam and Eve took of the fruit, and they did eat. And the Bible tells us that by that act of disobedience of one man, sin entered into the world. And then death came into the world. And then suffering came into the world. And then pain and disease and every wretched thing you see around us is not God's fault. It is man's fault. And it is through Adam. Now, think about it this morning. Abel's family. Imagine being born into a family where it's your mum and dad that committed the greatest catastrophe in the universe. Imagine that being you, born into that family. You see, Abel's family wasn't perfect. Abel's mum and dad were not sinless. They were the first sinners. That was the family Abel was born into. But we see something special in this family, don't we? Because Adam and Eve, to their credit, after they had sinned, didn't give up on God, did they? Yes or no? No, they didn't. Why is that? Because listen carefully, God did not give up on them. They didn't give up on God because God did not give up on them. Now let's catch up with their lives in Genesis chapter number 3. Let's go to the beginning of our Bibles as we're looking at the lives of these ones that live by faith, Abel. Now his story is found in Genesis, the book of Genesis. Look at chapter number 3. Now, it's not a long message this morning, but we are looking at a few verses. So Genesis chapter number 3, look with me at verse 15. After they had sinned, verse 14, God pronounced a judgment upon the serpent. The devil took the form of a serpent, and the Bible says that God judged the serpent, verse 14. And verse 15, he says this, "And I will put enmity, hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," and what are the next words? "And her seed." Now we have a problem here. The woman does not have the seed, if I can be plain this morning. The woman has the egg. It's the man that has the seed. Basic biology, isn't that correct? God says that I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. And the Bible says, "And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is the first declaration of God's plan of salvation. The Bible tells us all the way in the book of Genesis that there will be one that will be born of the seed of the woman. There will be one that will come from the womb of the woman that won't be born of man, but will be born of God. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that was prophesied in this verse, the one that is born of a virgin. And he came to this world as sinless God, and he lived a sinless, spotless life. And there on the cross, he paid once and for all for your sins and mine. You see, Adam and Eve knew that they had sinned, and there was a great consequence. But God told them there was a wonderful hope. A Savior will come. They were encouraged. And they continued to trust in God. That was God's plan of salvation from the very beginning. Notice verse 21 of chapter 3. Are you still with me this morning? Your pages have blown across like mine. Let's turn back. Genesis chapter 3, notice verse number 21. You've seen the plan of salvation. Notice the picture of salvation. Notice verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of" what? "Skins, and clothed them." Now don't forget, Adam and Eve were naked. When they had sinned, they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed. They were sinners. They were separated from God. And here in verse 21, God gives us a wonderful picture of his salvation, of his forgiveness, of his covering. You see, Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with leaves, with whatever they could find, but that wasn't good enough. It is God that had to provide a covering. and God was giving them a wonderful picture of His forgiveness. You see, an animal had to be slain. It had to be killed in order to cover their shame. And one day, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be born, and He would be the sacrifice for our sins. He would cover our sins in His righteousness. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ approaching. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, the supreme sacrifice for our sins, who taketh away the sins of the world." You see, God communicated to Adam and Eve what salvation is all about. And I want to say this morning. This is the build-up. This is the reasons for seeing these things. That Adam and Eve passed down God's word to their children. I'm convinced that they told Cain and Abel what God has said, what God has done, and how they can be forgiven. We see that because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, what does Abel bring to God? He brings an offering. He brings an offering, an excellent offering. What kind of offering? Stay with me this morning. I'll make my point in a moment. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. What offering did Abel make? Let's read verse 4 together. Genesis 4, verse 4. 1, 2. "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." We see that the offering that Abel brought was a lamb, a firstling of his flock of sheep. Abel was a shepherd. He brought a lamb as a sacrifice. He also gave the fat. That means the lamb was dead. It was a sacrifice that Abel offered. So he understood, because of what Adam and Eve had taught him, how mankind can approach and come back to God. He understood the truth of a sacrificial atonement. That's what Abel understood. And my point is this. Adam and Eve taught their children the Word of God. They taught their children the Word of God. Now, adults, listen up very carefully. As we look at Abel's family, there's a place he got his faith from. Is that correct? Yes or no? Let's be honest. Where did he get it from? Did he look up to the stars and say, "Well, I'm going to come up with my own religion," like many cults have done and still do today? No. He listened to mum and dad. He listened to the Word of God that they received from God. And he said, and they said to their children, "Look, this is the truth." They must have told them where sin came from. They must have told them what happened in the Garden of Eden, how they fell, and everyone is a sinner now. They must have told them that their own efforts to cover their sins are not good enough. You see, we can't earn our way to heaven. It is God that must provide the covering. And that's what He did for Adam and Eve. They must have told Abel and Cain that truth. They must have told them that the only way that you can approach God is through sacrifice. You can't earn your way. You can't offer your good works because they are sinful before God. The only way you can come to God is His way. In an offering that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice to come. And they taught Cain and Abel the Word of God. Let me just stop here before we look at Abel's faith. Parents, adults this morning, are you passing on to your children what God has said? You know the beautiful thing about children? They ask a lot of questions. And parents, sometimes we get annoyed by that, but it's a good thing. If they ask a lot of questions, what a privilege we have in helping them to find the answers. But look, if they can't get them from you and I, they're in big trouble. They're going to go looking for something else, and indeed someone else, to get those answers from. Parents, we need to know what God says in His Word, do we not? Most importantly, we need to understand this issue of salvation. Mummy, Daddy, when you die, where will you go? How about that question? Will I be sure that I can be with you? Parents, we need to know the answer. Now, God has told us in His Word. But are you teaching them from a young age about the Lord Jesus Christ? And you might say this morning, "Pastor, you don't know my kids." My friends, we are all sinners. All our children disobey. All our children are little sinners that need to be saved, just like you and I. But we need to be all about teaching them the Word of God in our homes? Why don't we sit down with our families at mealtimes and talk about the Lord? Why don't we? Because we don't understand the importance of passing down our faith. Adam and Eve were not perfect. They were the first sinners, parents. The first. And they took time and effort to tell their children about salvation, about the Word of God. Ought we not to do the same? Ought we not to talk about the Lord much as we look out at the sky and as we play outside with them? Shouldn't we talk about God's glory in creation? Shouldn't we talk about His Word? And isn't that what the Bible says to us as parents? We should be always talking about Him. Let me encourage you, parents, to get to know God more so your children can get to know Him, so that one day they can be saved. You see, Abel's family is a wonderful picture of parents teaching their children. But it takes time. It takes effort. Sometimes it takes the effort of turning off the TV and picking up a book with Bible stories, maybe some about Noah, some about Abel. There you go. Read to your children. Amen? Don't wait for the librarian to say that, or your high school or the children's teacher to say that. God says we need to read to them the Word of God. I was sitting down with my Bible the other day. Joanna came up to me and she said, "Dad, what are you reading?" And I told her, and she said, "Dad, can you teach me how to read so I can read the Bible too?" That's from a child. They want to know. But what are we feeding them with? Amen? Abel's faith came from somewhere. It came from his family. That's the first point. Point number one. All right. Are you still with me this morning? Abel's family. Next, let's have a look at Abel's faith. Now, it's one thing for him to hear what is true, but it's another thing as a young man to decide on what to believe. Is that correct? He's got to make his own choice. Notice with me Genesis chapter 4. All right, stay with me this morning. I'm watching the time. Genesis chapter 4. Let's have a look what the Bible says. Back up to verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 4 and verse 1. The Bible tells us in verses 1 to 4, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. He was the older brother, he came first. And they said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." And Eve bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, a shepherd, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Adam and Eve had two boys. Cain was a farmer, Abel was a shepherd. Then there came the opportunity for them to believe in God and approach God as God has said. What does the Bible say? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Now here we see Abel's faith. He understood God's way of salvation. He understood the only way he can approach God is to bring an offering of a sacrifice. A lamb, the firstling of his flock, that pictures the Lamb of God to come. That's what these lamb sacrifice offerings in the Bible represent. They represent what Jesus Christ would do once and for all to pay for the sins of the world. God had told them his way of salvation, his way of forgiveness. And Abel believed. How do we see his faith this morning? Abel simply believed the Word of God. He believed what God had said, and he said, "All right, that's how I am going to come to God. That's how I am going to choose to trust in God." Now remember, a sacrifice is important because it represents in the Old Testament that I can't do anything to earn my way to heaven or earn God's forgiveness. My sin needs to be covered by God. I am guilty, but God is merciful. And that was the faith that was evident in Abel's heart as he brought that sacrifice. I'm a guilty sinner. God is merciful. And I have nothing to offer God, but this represents God's forgiveness. And I'm coming to God, falling upon His mercies to forgive me. An offering given to God by faith. Can you see this morning that Abel came to God God's way? He didn't come his own way. He didn't make up his own religion. Didn't have any funny ideas about how to approach the Lord. He came God's way. And he offered a sacrifice that pictured the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, church family, that's what faith is. Coming to God His way. Faith is simply believing the Word of God and acting upon it. That's faith. That's faith. And so Abel put his faith in the Lord, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, that he was a righteous man. God forgave Abel. Abel is now in heaven. Amen. All the believers in Hebrews chapter 11 are now in heaven because they believed in the God of salvation, God's way, not their own. Now, here's the problem. Cain didn't believe that. Is that correct? Cain did not come to God God's way. He came his own way. Cain had his own ideas about the Word of God. He's like the young person this morning that says, "Look, Pastor, I understand a few things about God's Word, but to be honest with you, I don't believe it all. I've got my own ideas. In fact, this thing called salvation, look, I don't really agree with it. I don't really believe what God has said. I don't think I'm that bad a person. I'm going to just bring God my best efforts, and that should be good enough. I don't really agree with the Word of God." That was Cain's attitude. And his life represents the life of unbelief. Notice verses 4 and 5 there in Genesis chapter 4. The Bible says, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering," what are the next words? "He had not respect." Now, was there anything wrong with Cain being a farmer? What do you think? Yes or no? No. There's nothing wrong with being a farmer. A hard-working man who plows the field, works hard with his hands, grows fruit, grows vegetables. There was nothing wrong with Cain being a farmer. There was nothing wrong with what he had in his hands. The problem is what he was bringing to God as an offering unto the Lord was wrong. Because what he was bringing did not represent God's sacrifice and forgiveness of sin. What he was bringing was what? The works of his own hands. And Cain said, "Look, I don't believe that way of salvation. I'm going to come to God my own way. I'm going to bring my own works." My friends, do you know what that is this morning? That's the world of religion today. People who believe that they can live a life good enough to be accepted before a holy God. And they can live and do things in life that hopefully will get them to heaven once that one day, that but they'll never know until they die, and by that point it'll be too late. That is a life of unbelief in the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Lamb sacrifice of God, the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me ask you simply this morning, how have you come to God for salvation? Has there been a point in your life that you realized that you were a sinner, just like Cain and Abel realized? Was there a time in your life where you realized that you needed God's salvation, like Abel realized? Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and you asked Jesus Christ to save you once and for all? How have you come to God for salvation? Sadly, many come to God today and they want God's forgiveness, but they want it on their own terms. They want it their own way. "Oh, look, I'll believe in God, but I don't believe in this salvation stuff. I don't really believe what God has said about forgiveness once and for all and Christ's blood forgiving me for my sins in the past, present and future. I'll just live my own way and I'll bring my own works before God and say, 'Look, that must be good enough and that'll do. Hey, only God knows if we're saved or not. Hopefully my works are good enough.'" That's religion, my friends. That is unbelief. There is only one way of salvation, and that's by trusting in the finished sacrifice of Christ on the cross once and for all, accepting His forgiveness and rejoicing forever that our sins are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That was Abel's faith. Faith for salvation. Do you have salvation this morning? I don't want to go past this subject. There may be some people here this morning that would say, "Pastor, I'm just not sure." Can I encourage you to make sure this morning? Make sure today's the day you come to Christ God's way, not your own way. Cast aside those doubts and put your faith in Christ alone for salvation once and for all. But here's the lesson for us as Christians. You see, Cain and Abel are also an example of how we need to live. The just shall live by faith. We are to live the same way we got saved. The problem is, Abel obeyed God, Cain disobeyed God. Abel accepted God's word and he said, look, I'm not just going to be a believer that believes God's word, I'm going to live it out. I'm going to live the way God expects me to live. That's Abel. I'm going to serve God and I'm going to do what God expects of my life. I'm going to live a life of faith. Do you agree that was Abel? In fact, Abel said, I'm willing to sacrifice for the Lord. Cain wasn't. Cain said, look, I'm going to live my life my own way. Cain said, look, I'm just going to believe my own thinking and I'm going to live a spiritual life the way I think it's best to be lived. He said, I've got my own ideas. And Cain's lack of faith is seen in the offering that he brought. He didn't believe in God. He lived his own way. And Christian, that's the decision we need to make every single day of our lives. Are we going to live by faith, God's way, or are we going to live our own way? And you might say, Pastor, I'm saved. Of course I'm living God's way. That's not true. The just shall live by faith. This is salvation. This is practical Christian living. Once you are saved, you can live by faith. But my friends, if you choose not to, you won't. You won't. You know, we can get saved and then start living like we did before we got saved. Start thinking the same way. We've trusted in Christ with our eternal soul, and then suddenly we come up with our own funny ideas of how to live as a Christian. Church family, let me warn you that the way of Cain always leads to a tragic life. Always. You see, faith is serious. If we live in unbelief as Christians, we're in big trouble. We're always headed to disaster. You see, Abel, and listen, young people this morning, Abel was the kind of young man that said, I'm not just going to put my faith in God, I'm going to live for God. Amen? Two different things, salvation and living for God. Abel said, I'm going to live for God. He said, I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to live by faith. Let me say this morning. Abel wasn't the kind of man who would open up the word of God and say, look, I don't believe that. That's not the Abel that's told about in the Bible. He was a man of faith. He wasn't the kind of man who would come up to the pastor and start arguing with him and say, look, I don't believe that about the word of God. That wasn't Abel. He believed God's word. What God said is true, and we need to live it out. That was the kind of man Abel was. Abel wasn't the kind of young man that would surf all night on the internet looking for things in the Bible that other people think are wrong, and then finding his own little religion and cult to stick to and live for God his own way and come up with his own religion. Now that wasn't Abel at all. Abel believed God's word by faith. But Cain did not. He said, look, I'm not going to get serious about this God. My brother's serious about it, but I'm not. Look, I'll bring an offering, Cain said, but I'm not going to make any sacrifices. You can forget about that. Sadly, many Christians live that way. I want to be saved, but forget about living for Jesus Christ. That's not a life of faith. That's a life of unbelief that leads to destruction. Because let me ask this question as we wrap up. Where did Cain's unbelief lead him? What is Cain? Now, he's not on this banner, by the way. He's not on this banner. Why? What is he known for today in the Bible? He became the first what? Murderer. When Abel offered an offering that was pleasing to God, that obeyed his word, Cain became so angry and jealous that God did not accept his offering the way Cain wanted to give it. He rose up in anger and vengeance and murdered his own brother. Now this is a wonderful story of faith in Abel. But do you see this morning it's a tragic story of unbelief. Where will unbelief lead us in the Christian life? Yes, we may be saved, but unbelief will lead us to a tragic life, full of tragic decisions, full of terrible consequences. We cannot lose our salvation, but that's where unbelief will lead us. Look, if we don't believe in the Word of God, parents, listen up, we won't raise our children properly. If we don't believe in the Word of God and live out the Word of God, they can slip through our very fingers and grow up and never once believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, it's serious. Absolutely, it's serious. But how serious are we as Christians? Are we willing to live by faith in 2016? I hope we are. See, Abel made a choice. Let me say, young people, before we conclude, you might have a family member this morning that's not living by faith. You might have a Cain in your home. You might have a brother or a sister that's chosen to go the way of Cain. You might have a sibling or a friend or even a parent that is not saved and doesn't want Jesus Christ. But don't let that stop you from living for God. See, Abel wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abel wasn't ashamed of God's word and God's way of salvation. In fact, Abel was so unashamed, knowing his brother, I believe, would be upset and angry, and knowing how his brother lived, he still chose to honor God. Some of you young people are being held back by your own parents' disobedience. I'm not talking about ones here in the room. But maybe they're disobeying the Lord. I don't really know, but maybe they're not living for God. Maybe they've just chosen to live for God their own way. And you're stuck. You're stuck in a life of disobedience. Young people, you need to obey the Word of God. You need to honor your parents, but you need to make a choice to obey the Word of God, even if it comes at the own personal cost of a loss of that friendship. Now, Abel paid the ultimate price. He became the first martyr, did he not? That's why he's in the Heroes Hall of Faith. He stood for God in spite of his brother, in spite of his anger, in spite of his hatred. Abel was a young man of faith. Faith. Faith to stand on the Word of God. My friend, how are you going to live this year? Now, parents, let's be people of faith so our children can look up to us. Amen? So that we can be the example like Adam and Eve. That's what we see in their example. And Christians, let's live by faith. Let's not go the way of Cain. That's a tragic life. Many Christians are living that tragic life this very morning. I can give you examples. I can give you names. Why? Because I'm better than they are? Absolutely not. We are all wretched sinners. Someone once said, Pastor James, you're so clean, you're so polite. You're so different. Friends, the only reason I'm clean is because God cleaned me up. God washed away my sins. I just simply trusted in Him. If there's anything clean about any of us, all glory goes to God and not to us. But see, He wants to clean out your life too. And He's still cleaning out mine. None of us are any better than anyone else. But some of us have chosen not to live a life of faith because we've chosen not to believe in God. Trusted Him for our salvation, perhaps. But yet we're going on with our own life the way of Cain did. Got my own ideas. I got my own thoughts. Look, you don't need to be in church. That's legalism. Be in church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Memory verse number one. If we miss that, we'll miss the messages this year. Amen. We'll miss the help that God wants to give us if we miss that. Because many people say, look, you don't need to be in church. You know, you just need to go to church as often as you do to the RSL club, whenever you're hungry. And you want a bargain, free food perhaps. Amen? Well, let's get serious about God this year. Abel's family, Abel's faith, lastly, Abel's future. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 as we close. Hebrews chapter 11, this is the final point. It's a short one. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Notice the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now we know why. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Notice this last part. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Notice those two last words. Yet speaketh. What happened to Abel? You might say, Pastor, this is a tragic story. Abel was murdered. Abel lost his life. Cain went to live on. That's not fair. My friends, never forget that death for the believer is a promotion into glory. The moment Cain struck Abel, Abel died and he woke up walking on streets of gold. And Abel's name is written down in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and he being dead yet speaketh. What does that mean? His example lives for us today to follow. If only you and I would live a life like Abel. If only we would simply believe God. We would have faith. The just shall live by faith. You see, he being dead yet speaketh. But by the way, Cain being dead yet speaketh too. His life is an example to us, not to follow, but to what? Avoid. To fearfully avoid. To understand this subject this year is not a light matter. Living by faith. Consequences. Tragedy. What happened to Cain? Very quickly. What happened to Cain? Judgment of God. Is that right? Separation from his own family and home. What happened to Cain? Cain's children, his own children, the rest of the generation of Cain were judged and destroyed and lost. In fact, when God looked for someone who was righteous, all he found was Noah and his family. That's it. Alive at that time. Cain's children gone the way of Cain. Friends, our faith is important. Adam and Eve passed it down. We need to pass it down. Abel lived by faith. We need to live by faith. Just obey the word of God. Believe what he says. And then, like Abel, do it. But, Pastor, that means some sacrifices. Yes, it does. But that's the only way to live. The just shall live. That's the only way to live. By faith. Abel's future is set. What about yours and mine? Let me consider your future here this morning. As we close in prayer, as I ask a couple of questions during the invitation, let me encourage you to respond. What would God have you to do? We've heard the word of God. How will we believe it and respond this morning? Let's honour the Lord with this invitation as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious time to hear from you. And Lord, we ask that you would be honoured by our response this morning. Lord, we know what was in Abel's heart because he showed by his life he believed you. Lord, what will we show this year? How will we show it? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Just two simple questions this morning. Friend, if you died today, where would you go? Are you 100% sure your eternity is secure in Jesus Christ? How have you come to God for His salvation? If you're not sure whether your sins are covered by Jesus Christ, if you're not sure of a home in heaven, would you simply raise your hand up? No one's looking around. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. The only one that will see you is me. And I'd simply like to just talk to you at another time convenient to you. Is anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor, I need to make sure that I'm saved. I need to make sure I've come to God the right way for salvation, not my own way. I need to make sure that it's the same way as what the Bible says, how I can be saved. Is there anyone here this morning? Would you raise up your hand? No one's looking around. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone here that is seeking God for salvation? If you don't want to put your hand, please come and see me after the service. Don't miss the gift of eternal life. As we continue, Christian, if you are saved, will you make a commitment this year to live like Abel? His life is such a short example, but such a great one. He chose to believe God. Parents, maybe God has spoken to you this morning about putting Christ in your family. Maybe there are some decisions to be made. Maybe young people, God has spoken to you about standing up in your home for Christ. Not in an arrogant way, but in a humble way. obeying His Word. Maybe God has shown you this morning, Christian, the need to set your future in place by starting today to live by faith, so that your children can look back and say, I remember I had a granddad or a grandma that told me about Christ and lived what she believed. Friends, our faith is serious.